Chapter 10. Darcy ran out of her house onto the dark street.
"Where you going? It's getting late," Jamie asked.
"Don't worry about it. I'll be back soon," Darcy yelled as she headed down the block. She knew she had to move quick.
Tara told her that Cooper and Hakeem left 10 minutes ago. That meant they'd be at Brian's any second if they weren't there already.
"I ain't never seen Hakeem so upset," Tara had explained.
"He got all in my face for not telling him what happened to you. Coop tried to calm him down, but that's when Hakeem told him what Brian did. Next thing I know, they're both racing off in Coop's truck. You gotta do something, Darce. You're the only one who can stop this now."
Darcy didn't know what she'd do as she raced to the corner and sprinted toward Brian's apartment building 4 blocks away. Tara's house was on the other side of the neighborhood, a 10-minute drive. There was no time for her to get involved. Darcy knew that. She had to handle this on her own. People on the sidewalk glared at her as she darted between them and plowed ahead. On one corner, a car skidded loudly as she dashed into the street. On another block, someone shouted a curse at her, but she didn't care. Her friends' lives were at stake. A police car rolled by up ahead. Darcy was about to flag it down, but it sped off before she had a chance. She was only 2 blocks away. Even at that distance, she could see the cement walls of the apartment building up ahead. Her eyes scanned up to the 4th-floor window of the Mason's apartment. The lights were on. The sight made her stomach tighten up like a fist. She could picture the inside of the apartment, the family pictures on the wall, the glass coffee table, the sofa where Brian pinned her. The memory still filled her with an anger no words could describe, an anger that didn't fade as the weeks and months passed, an anger at guys who hurt others, who ignore it when a girl says no.
"Yo, take it easy. I don't see no fire," a man shouted as Darcy raced down the last block.
She nearly hit him as she flew by. Darcy heard someone yelling as she reached the parking lot next to the building. She turned and spotted Cooper's old pickup truck. Its doors were open, its engine idling loudly. Next to it was a red Toyota. This time, Darcy was sure it was Brian's car. In the beam of the truck's headlights, she saw Brian. He was wearing a loose black t-shirt and baggy jeans. A grease stain was on his pants as if he had been working on his car. Hakeem was in front of him, his face inches from Brian's. Cooper was right beside him.
"You think you're a man?" Hakeem growled. "I'm about to teach you what a man is right now."
"No," Darcy yelled from across the lot, but no one seemed to hear her voice. Hakeem lunged at Brian, sending 2 quick punches to his face, one to his chin, the other to his cheek. Darcy could hear the heavy blows landing as she rushed closer.
"No!"
she screamed again, but the fight possessed them. She watched as Brian shoved Hakeem back and punched the side of his face, his knuckles hitting with a loud crack. She crossed the parking lot, stopping just a few feet away. Cooper circled close like a shark ready to strike. Brian, struggling against Hakeem, was defenseless against him. Cooper's punches would not be blocked. But Darcy didn't want it. She never asked for her friends to do this. She never wanted to see them risk their lives and futures for her, or waste them on a piece of trash like Brian.
"Stop it," she ordered.
Her voice couldn't be louder, but the boys struggled, cursing and punching like animals. Drops of blood stained Hakeem's shirt. Cooper's fists were raised like 2 hammers, ready to destroy Brian. Darcy knew she had to act.
"I said stop it," she yelled, stepping right in front of Cooper.
His eyes widened at the sight of her, as if she had suddenly broke the spell he'd been under. He lowered his fists and backed up.
"Help me break this up, Coop," she ordered.
Cooper shook his head like she'd asked him to do something impossible. Darcy cursed and rushed to Hakeem, pushing against him with all her might, trying to separate him from Brian.
"Don't do this. He's not worth it," she screamed.
Watch out!
Darcy heard Cooper's warning, but her back was to Brian. She had just enough time to brace herself.
Whap!
She felt as if a bullet ripped into her back, though there was no gunshot. She knew it was Brian's fist that struck her from behind. The blow made her legs buckle, but not fall. She heard Cooper yelling something, but she focused on Hakeem, blocking out the pain. She stared into his eyes with something she hadn't felt in months. She wanted to stop him, to calm him, to protect him.
"Look at me," she commanded, putting her hands on her face. "Look at me."
Finally, she saw the anger in his eyes begin to melt, saw that he recognized her. She latched onto his shoulders even as he tried to shrug her off.
"What are you doing here, Darcy?" he asked. "This ain't the place for you."
"It's not the place for you either. He's not worth it," she said.
"I ain't scared of either of you," Brian growled behind her. "Y'all just a couple of little boys."
Darcy turned to see Cooper and Brian circling each other. Cooper had shoved Brian back, kept him away from Darcy and Hakeem. He was protecting them, though he looked like he wanted to do more. She knew Hakeem wanted to, too, but she got their attention. She forced them to pause, to think.
"And you're nothing but a coward who pushes girls around," she snapped back, walking over to him.
It was the first time she faced him since the attack, but after the counseling and the fight, he seemed smaller somehow. Nothing like the Brian in her dreams.
"What you did to me was wrong, and you know it. Part of me wants to see you hurt, but then I'd be just like you. Now, if you were really a man, you'd step up and apologize and learn how to treat people. But I'm not holding my breath for that," she said, turning to Hakeem and Cooper. "My friends may be younger, but they're more men than you'll ever be."
Brian rolled his eyes, but Darcy didn't care. She was done with him. The nightmare of the beginning of the summer was over. She'd stood up to the monster and stared it down, but there were bigger monsters at home. She looked at her watch and realized Dad would be home in less than an hour.
"You're either the craziest or the bravest girl I know," Cooper said as they walked away together back to his truck. "I ain't sure which yet."
"She's both," Hakeem said, putting his arm on Darcy's shoulder and turning to her. They stopped walking.
"I'm sorry I wasn't here to protect you. I'm so sorry," he said, his voice wavering.
He hugged her then, the truest embrace he'd ever given. For the first time since he'd been back, she felt glimmers of the past, a feeling of connection, of understanding, of honesty.
"I don't need you to protect me," she replied. "She's right," Cooper chimed in from his truck. "Maybe we need her to protect us. I can't wait to tell Tara about all this."
"I got a few things I need to tell her too, Coop," Darcy said. She knew now that Tara had been loyal to her all along, that she'd been in an impossible situation and did the best she could. It was all Darcy could ask of anyone. When she got a chance, she'd apologize, but not tonight, not with all that waited in store for her. Jamie was on the phone when Darcy walked in.
"He's not there," she said into the phone.
"Well, where is he? I was told he was getting off around 10. Jamie's eyes suddenly grew wide. She hung up the phone without saying goodbye.
"What is it? What's wrong?" Darcy asked.
"I'm trying to find Dad. The cab company said he had off today, but Mom said he was working tonight."
"Huh?
Don't you get it, Darcy? He lied to Mom. He's probably off drinking somewhere," Jamie said, sitting down on the couch and putting her face in her hands.
"After you left, Mom called. She heard her back at work and needs a ride home. She didn't have Dad's new work number, so she asked me to call him, but he's not there. I don't know what to do. Everything's falling apart."
Jamie's last words broke into gentle sobs. Darcy looked at the clock. It was almost 10. She was about to call Cooper to ask for a ride when she heard a car pull up. She peeked out the window and saw Dad. "He's here," Darcy said, feeling her hands tremble with nervous energy.
"If he's drunk, Darcy, I swear to God I will lose it," Jamie said.
Dad walked in a second later. Darcy and Jamie watched in icy silence as he took off his jacket. There was nothing unusual about the way he moved. If he drank anything, it wasn't much, Darcy thought.
"What's wrong with you two?"
he asked as soon as he came in the living room. His eyes were on Jamie. It was clear she'd been crying.
"Mom called," Darcy said. "She hurt her back and needs a ride home, now."
"What happened?"
Dad asked, his eyes wide with alarm.
"Is she okay?"
"What do you care?" Jamie snapped. "If you were so concerned, you wouldn't have lied about where you were tonight."
Darcy watched as her father nodded and took a long, sad breath.
"Let's go get your mother. We'll talk when we know she's okay. I have a lot to tell you."
He grabbed the keys he'd just put down and headed out the door. Jamie flashed Darcy a look. She was giving up on Dad with every second, and it was tearing her apart inside. Darcy could read it on her sister's face. Darcy felt it too. Their family was a ship that was slowly sinking under the sea. Dad raced to the hospital. No one talked during the car ride, but they rushed out together and headed straight to the emergency room where Mom worked. Inside, the air smelled of floor cleanser and body odor. In the hallway outside the ER, an entire family sat looking pale with worry. Inside, Darcy nearly collided with a middle-aged woman standing beside an old man in a wheelchair. He coughed loudly as Darcy passed. A horrible gurgling sound came from his lungs.
"How can Mom spend so much time here?" Darcy wondered.
Dad spoke to a doctor and was directed to a small office area just around the corner from the emergency room. Mom was there, stretched out on a portable hospital bed. She looked like a patient, not a nurse.
"What happened, Maddie?"
Dad asked, rushing to her side.
"I can't do it no more, Carl. My back gave out," Mom said.
Darcy could see she had been crying too. Her eyes still glistened with tears.
"Doctor tells me I gotta slow down or I'm gonna hurt myself and the baby."
"Then you better listen," Dad said. "That's what we've been telling you."
"But you're gonna have to work two jobs to make up for my lost overtime."
"Don't lie to me, Carl. You can't work that much."
"No one can," Mom said, shaking her head sadly.
"We'll figure it out, Maddie,"
Dad said, glancing back at Darcy and Jamie.
"You just have to have faith. I'm leaning on that a lot these days."
Jamie wept softly and leaned into Darcy. The ship was still sinking. Darcy could feel it slide, and she couldn't stand it. There had to be something more she could do than just watch it happen.
"You can lean on me too," Darcy said suddenly.
"Huh?" Everyone turned to her.
"I've been thinking about it for a long time, and I've decided to work more. I know I can work 25 hours a week and still keep up my grades."
"No, I won't let you do that," Mom said.
"It's what I'm gonna do, Mom," Darcy replied.
It was true. She wouldn't take no for an answer.
"But listen, Mom, I'm older now, and this is what I want to do. If my grades slip, I'll cut back. But if not, why shouldn't I work?"
"No, it's not right. We don't want to be a burden to you. But we're a family, Mom. That's what we do for each other. You and Grandma taught us that. Besides, I am that baby's big sister," Darcy added. "It's time for you to let me be that."
"I can help too. I can babysit for extra money," Jamie offered then.
"I know it's not much, but it's something. I'm gonna be a big sister too."
Mom shook her head at her two daughters.
"When did you two get so stubborn?" she asked.
"They take after you," Dad said, gently rubbing Mom's shoulder.
He leaned back and looked at the girls, his own eyes glistening with tears of pride.
"You and your mother."
At home, Mom went to her room immediately, and Dad sat up with the girls in the living room.
I'm going to treat you like adults because you acted like adults tonight, Dad announced. You can tell your mother now or later. I haven't told her because I didn't want to upset her with the baby, but I'll let you decide after you hear everything.
Darcy was hanging on to his every word. She knew what was at stake. Would they survive as a family or not? Dad took a deep breath.
You're right, Jamie. I wasn't at work tonight. I was at a meeting for people like me, people with drinking problems. It's called Alcoholics Anonymous. I used to go to these meetings all the time, but I got better and stopped going. With all the stress, I started drinking again. Nothing serious, but I realized it could become a problem, so I got help. This week I started going to the meetings every day. Being a cabbie allows me to do that,
he admitted.
See this?
He said, holding up a small coin with a prayer on it.
This is a token I have to keep me from drinking. Your words tonight, your faces right now, that baby on the way. I've got plenty of reasons not to drink, and I swear I will work every day to make sure I don't. You girls, your mom, this family are the most precious things in the world to me. I will not throw that away again. Never.
Dad promised. Darcy wiped her eyes as her father finished speaking. His words were pure and true, and she could see he believed them with all his heart. Jamie wrapped her arms around him, and Darcy embraced them both. They barely even noticed Mom standing at the edge of the living room, listening to every word. She quietly joined them in the embrace, their tears flowing together. They were still a family, a stronger family than Darcy realized.
Sometimes, even the worst things turn out to be blessings in disguise.
Grandma's words seemed truer now than ever. At several points over the past few days, Darcy was sure her family and friendships were coming to an end, and her world would be forever broken. Now, Darcy realized she had been wrong. Many things had changed, but nothing was destroyed. Mom's tiredness forced her to get the rest she and the baby needed. Dad's problem actually brought him closer to the family, showed everyone the love and commitment he had made to them. And the stress of the past few days had also changed Darcy. She was different than she had been just a week ago. Older somehow. Wiser. Less scared. It was true she was not a child anymore. The events of the past week and the afternoon at Grandma's grave taught her that. But in place of the child she had been was something greater, something more powerful. A budding adult, a young woman. Sure, she would now have to work harder, take more responsibility, help her family out more. Darcy knew that, but she also knew she joined a line of powerful women who had done that before her. Her mother and her grandmother. Now it was Darcy's turn. She felt honored to be in such company. At 6:30 a.m., Darcy was awakened by a strange sound, a scratching noise. It was coming from the backyard. She bolted upright in her bed. Please, God, don't let it be what I think it is. Darcy ran to the window and looked out. Standing there alone in the yellow dawn was her father. He was pulling beer bottles from the crawl space, opening them, and pouring them gently into the grass. Thank you, God. She heard him tossing the bottles one by one into a trash can, heard them shatter. A sound sweeter than any music.
This has been a Townsend Press production. From the Bluefoot series of books, Shattered, by Paul Langan, and read by Shayna Walker. This audiobook was produced by Audiobright and features the music of Kenyon Whittington. For more information, visit our website at townsendpress.com.